listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 189. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who's already technically on his third cup of coffee at 9 o'clock in the morning, John Brownstone!
Damn straight.
Holy shit, we've already talked about getting another cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I'll just peel you off the ceiling before bed tonight, it'll be fine.
I need it to get through today.
Yes. This week, we're talking about the importance of praise in DS relationships. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, on Instagram at that handle I will hate and hate and hate forever and ever and ever. I don't care. I don't care.
Do you know how bad it is to carry that much hate? You know, it's bad for your digestion, your physical well-being.
I self-medicate with coffee. It's fine. You can follow us on Instagram at LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1. Or you can subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/LovingBDSM, where you can actually watch us live stream this podcast every Wednesday. All links are in the show notes. As always, a big shout out and thank you to our kinky patrons.
Mm-hmm.
Without you, I'm not sure I could continue on. Yeah, I could continue on, but I continue on much better.
Wouldn't be the same.
It wouldn't be the same. Yeah. No, having kinky patrons totally makes big-ass difference. You can join us as a kinky patron if you're not currently a kinky patron. For as low as $1 a month, you get access to a monthly live Q&A, a monthly bonus section of the podcast, sneak peeks, first time learning about stuff, and all kinds of other good stuff.
First time. Wow.
Oh, goodness. No, see, first time, there's too much anxiety in first time. So I'm more like, let's be experienced and feel much more relaxed. We're not talking about kinky patrons anymore, are we? Okay. So join us at patreon.com/KaylaLords. That's patreon.com/KaylaLords. Or use the link in the show notes page. When you become a kinky patron, you help support the work we do. And we love you for it.
Yes.
We are going to get into the episode now.
All right.
And our refrigerator is going to make ice in the background. This is where we learn how sensitive the mics are. Did it pick up the ice being made in the refrigerator? I don't know.
It's because you used it all for your iced tea this morning.
I did. I made a big... Yes. And if anybody cares about my iced tea thing, I'll talk about that in the bonus section because why not? Okay. So, two announcements. One small, one big.
Okay.
The small one is a reminder. The Hot Octopus special coupon discount thing is still going on through the end of September 2019. So, use code KL15. You save 15% off your purchase. The only thing that is excluded are the Pulse 3 solo and duo. They were out of the solo. I don't know if they've restocked, but they were out of the solo. So they knocked the price of the Pulse 3 duo down to the solo price. And so that's already on discount. So KL15, say 15%. Okay. And for video watchers, I will put that in the description box for you. Podcast listeners, show note link. Yeah, you know the drill. Now, the next thing, technically, Dombrowski called it sponsoring, but when you own it and you own the content, it's not sponsoring, but you are doing a sale.
Yes.
So this is pure vanilla, y'all. This is his website, thewooddom.com. Bowls, pins, keychains, bottle openers, wine toppers.
Shaving sets. Shaving brushes.
Pencils. You even do mechanical pencils, don't you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. It's vanilla gift giving at its finest, whether you want to give yourself a gift or somebody else, whether you want to start your holiday shopping early or you've got a birthday or an anniversary or a whatever. Thewooddom.com. Mm-hmm. Now through October 16th, you said? Use code FALL19, F-A-L-L 19. And you will save 20% off site-wide.
Mm-hmm.
And for video watchers, that stuff will be in the description box. Live stream viewers, I'll get it there in a few minutes. Give me a second. And podcast listeners, thewooddom.com, if you can remember that, fall 19, if you can remember that, but it'll be in the show notes as well.
Yes.
Part of it is you need to kind of, we really do need to clear out some inventory. Like, there's a lot of inventory there. Because I won't, not, okay, I don't know if the submissive's allowed to say that she won't let her dominant do something, but I pretty much said, I'm not letting you buy more stuff until you sell more stuff. that was a business thing, and my dom energy is in business.
Yeah.
And that was where, so John Bronson has a whole bunch of things he'd really like to make and he'd like mm-hmm. to do, but I've gone, you have to sell some stuff first. So thewooddom.com, fall 19, 20% mm-hmm. off site wide, no exclusions. We're pretty good about getting things shipped out. Like if an order comes in, if we can't get it shipped out that day, we get it shipped out the next
Definitely
day.
Definitely the next day, yep.
I am the shipping department. Yes, I'm also the packing department. So if you ever do order something from us, even if it's our Kinky Fuckery shop, and you're like, holy shit, there's a lot of packing peanuts or bubble wrap. That's me. That's yep. me being nervous. That's why you let the anxious person pack your shit. Because I'm going to make sure it's protected. That's all I'm saying.
And then some.
Right. Okay, that was really long. Okay, good. And I've got confirmation from somebody, at least on YouTube, that they did not hear the ice maker. Thank you very much. Okay. So, praise. Mm. Praise, 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 praise. We are actually finally into the episode. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord.
It's going to be an editing nightmare for me.
Yes, it is going to be an editing nightmare for you. I'm so sorry. so, I've got this as three basic points in my notes. Praise for submissives.
Mm-hmm.
Praise for dominance.
Right.
Praise as a kink. We will talk about it. We get a lot of requests to just talk about specific kinks and fetishes. I don't know if anybody's noticed. We're mostly a relationship kind of thing. Yeah. Interpersonal. Introspective. Personal growth. I don't know what we are. But, so.
I'm me, you're you.
This is true. This is a rough day. Oh, my Lord. Podcast listeners, you did not go through the drama with the rest of us earlier, and you're probably like, what the fuck has happened? I don't know. So, you praise me a lot. So, I want you to start while I have to type a couple things in the background if you hear the keyboard. I want you to talk about that because you have done that from the very beginning. I've never had to sort of fight for you to, you know, say nice things to me. I know you have a philosophy about why you do it, other than he's just a genuinely kind human being. Truly one of the nicest people I know, which makes me look really bad because I'm not one of the nicest people I know.
Scorpio bitch.
I am. And in the Myers-Briggs, I'm an INTJ, and consistently an INTJ. And Scorpio, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, you don't have to believe in all that shit to know that it's kind of fun to, like, read about it. And I am that. Both of those. Yeah. So, praise, you need to talk about the praise thing because you absolutely, like, embody that as a dominant.
Well, I think in, and there's a number of reasons for all of this, but I think in the, I've always believed in the world today, there is more than enough negativity.
That is true.
All right. And, you know, people deserve praise. And through praise, I think it lifts people up more. Now, you know, if you do something wrong, you've noticed I don't put you down over it. I don't, you know, I correct you constructively.
Yeah, I still hate correction, but yes, you do. You do it right. I don't like it, but you do it right.
Yeah, you don't like it either way, but you'd like it even less.
I'm a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be wrong.
Exactly. But I just feel praise is something that's very important. Part of that comes from having grown up in a background where I was never praised.
Yeah.
All right. And having gone through that, I kind of made it a personal goal not to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And to always give praise where praise is due.
Gotcha.
You notice even with the boys, that's why when they start name calling,
yeah, I don't like that
gets under my skin. Because, no, that don't fly. That don't cut it.
No, yeah. There's no need for name calling.
No need for name calling. Now, you and I we do get into some name calling in the right situation during a scene.
Right, which is totally different.
Totally different. Outside of that, no name calling, no putting someone down. You know what? When I give her praise, it makes her want to serve and take care of me all the more.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot like gratitude in that sense. When you say thank you for something, I know that you've seen what I've done, recognized it, appreciate it, and therefore it is then easier to, you know, it's easier to do it when I'm not in the mood later. So sometimes doing your submissive thing is almost easier. Like, this is what feels good. This is what feels natural. This is what I'm used to. And then sometimes it's like, I don't freaking want to. But both gratitude and praise can help on some levels keep that moving forward. So you say thank you, and it makes me know that you recognize what I do. When you praise what I do now, praise is a little, for me, it hits different parts of my brain.
Yeah.
So the thank you I might get is where I know that I'm not being taken for granted. The praise lets
taken
me...
Taken for granted. That's a big thing, because see this cup right here? Every morning, she makes me my iced coffee.
For podcast listeners, he's holding his silver.
I'm holding my cup.
His coffee cup.
Excuse me. Every morning, she makes me this cup of coffee. And it would be too easy for me to get into a habit of expecting that cup of coffee.
And yet, on some level, as a submissive, I'm like, you should expect it. It's what you want. I'm your submissive. I'm going to do it. But I get your point.
You understand what I'm trying to get at? Mm-hmm. I could expect that cup of coffee, and where's my coffee?
Well, yes.
All right. But every day, I thank her for it.
But you also, and so that's the gratitude part. And we've done an entire episode on gratitude. When I'm doing links later, I'll link it for everybody. The praise part is when he takes a sip and he goes, oh my God, this is so good.
Oh, yeah.
And so for me, there's a little bit of pride in the fact that I made a good cup of coffee. Now, nobody else might like my coffee. You don't have to. I'm not making it for you. For John Brownstone. And so the thanking me helps me not to know that I'm not being taken for granted. The praise lets me know I've done a good job.
Right.
A lot of submissives have... The stereotype is good girl or good boy, depending on your gender and how you identify. But there can be any praise. Like, it doesn't have to be good girl or good boy. It can be whatever kind of... For me, it's like a tingly feeling. It's like a, ooh! Like, when he says good girl, I'm like, the shoulders shimmy, the boobs shimmy. Like, I just shimmy. I'm so happy. I'm a little bit like a happy puppy at that point. Because it's this really positive feeling that just sort of washes over me. It is affirmation that I have done something that pleases him. And part of my submission is wanting to please my dominant.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily how every submissive sees it, but a lot of us do. And so getting that praise is part of what helps you keep going when things get tough. Part of what lets you know to keep doing that thing, because and that thing is a very general term. So sometimes it's a specific activity, the way I make his coffee. Sometimes it's my obedience. Sometimes I get a good girl when he finally says something for me to do something and I actually do it without questioning.
Yes.
Because that's
Imagine that.
That's a thing I struggle with. My whole life since I could speak. Why? I was that kid turned into that adult. Why? I need to know why. So sometimes the praise I get is the behavior being reinforced is my own submission and my own obedience, because that's important to us. We have talked about positive reinforcement before.
Correct.
Praise is a huge part
of that. Right.
Instead of you suck, you're awful, that tearing somebody down to build them back up thing, which some people can do and some people cannot. I get a lot of thank you and good girls when I do good. Now, when I am a little too sassy for my own good, we will not call that bratty. It's just the sass has gone too far. He will correct me. He will say, whoa, no, that's not okay. And so it's not that when praise is a part of your DS that you ignore correction, you ignore fixing bad behaviors or or becoming, you know, learning new things. And when you screw up, you have to deal with those. It's just, it's the part that makes it easier to do that. It is much easier to be corrected by John Brownstone, because even though I hate it because I'm a perfectionist and that's just me, it's easier for him to give me constructive criticism and correction because I'm not constantly battling negative things coming out of his mouth. He's not telling me I suck and I'm awful and I really screwed that up. He's not laughing at me and teasing me in a malicious way when things go wrong. Most of the time, he's telling me what I've done right before he ever talks about what I did wrong. Even when he does have to like critique, he's like, okay, you did this part right. This is where we need work. Now, it's been a long time since we did that. Excuse me.
Yeah.
It's been a long time because we are at a point in our relationship. There's not a lot of, quote, training going on. There's not a lot of learning new skills. The things we learn, we actually learn together now. So we both screw up equally. And we're like, we come at it. We are equals.
Pick up the
things.
Pieces and move on.
Right. You know, figuring out how a live stream works.
How live stream works.
Right. If his style was to be a little bit more negative or to be really stingy with his praise, and I know people who are, that's like how they look at life. They are very stingy with their praise. I was raised by somebody like that. And if the submissive in that situation can handle that, is okay with that, is also themselves maybe stingy with praise or just truly doesn't feel like they need a lot, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I can tell you from my childhood that did not always bode well. I got a lot more criticism than I got praise. And there is the fear from a parenting standpoint, and I think even from a power exchange standpoint, of sort of spoiling the person that you're giving too much praise to. If you always tell them how great they are and you never criticize, and they think that they're perfect and can do no wrong. But it's a balance. And as somebody who was raised with a lot of criticism, I mean, y'all, I was told that I did not get paid for grades, but straight A's were expected because I was capable of it. And so what would happen is if I came home, like I'd freak out over a B, because if I came home with a B, there was nobody going, was that the best you could do? Good for you. I know you studied really hard last night. I'm proud of you, even though you got a B. There was somebody in my life going, what the fuck you got a B for? What? Like that. I don't know how I became a perfectionist as an adult. Can't imagine. Like there's a lot that goes into that. So praise is a balance. Too much, and somebody can't always handle being told when they screw up, and we have to hear when we screw up, especially as a submissive who is trying to learn within your specific power dynamic how best to serve, please, or submit to your dominant. But also as a human being, if nobody ever tells you that you like fucked that shit up, you are in for some hard times.
It's kind of like doing a survey. You know, when you do a survey, you have a range like 1 through 5, 1 being the least and 5 being the best. You don't always give all 5s.
Yeah, no. Nobody is always all 5s. You're totally right.
Right.
No, you are totally right. And I think that there is, when it comes to praise, depending on your personality, there is sometimes a desire to want to do that. We want to, especially if we see praise as lifting our partner up, we want to lift them up as high as we can so they feel really good about themselves. But too high and they don't see themselves accurately either.
Yeah.
Now, as a submissive who in the past has exhibited a lot of low self-esteem, I don't think I do anymore. It hits me at times. It flares up. But I'm mostly like, what the fuck? Oh, I'm not as attractive as those 100 people over there. Okay. It is what it is. Oh, I'm not, you know, pencil thin. Never was going to be. Okay. Like some of the things I used to have low self-esteem about, I kind of go, I don't fucking care. But in the days where my self-esteem was still like almost rock bottom, praise really helped me as a submissive.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of that was because I did not have a lot of people in my life from childhood through adulthood who always said those kinds of complimentary things that I needed to hear. Now, people praised my intelligence, so I had an overinflated sense of my own intelligence for a while. Don't worry, I'm fine now. I've figured that shit out. And they, you know, praised how I was willing to work really, really, really hard and, you know, kill my body in the process. I learned my lesson there too, okay? But the things that I wasn't confident about, you spent a lot of time praising me, but it was always in a really genuine, authentic way. I mm-hmm. always got the feeling you really meant it. And I think that's an important part when you're praising anybody, but if you're dealing with, if you are a dominant and your submissive has low self-esteem and you're trying really hard to build them up, the praise you do give, if that's part of the process of that, I think it has to come mm-hmm. from a very genuine place. It is still hard for somebody with low self-esteem to believe it, but when it's genuine, you do feel it a little bit.
Now, a little bit of the opposite of this, and you don't do this as much anymore as you used to.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when we first were kind of not getting together, but we were already together and starting to build our relationship. You would say things like, oh, I don't feel pretty. I don't feel attractive.
Oh, yeah.
I feel big today.
And that was like 20 pounds lighter than I am now. What the hell was I complaining about?
And I'd turn around and I'd be like, don't you talk about my baby girl like that.
You still do that.
I still do.
You still, and you know what? I get, it is almost like, I don't know if anybody can see it, those watching on the video. It makes me blush. It makes me smile. It is almost right up there with a good girl on a different, in a different way, because it is this claim of ownership that I like. And also there, you say it in such a way that I'm like, I won't talk bad about your baby girl. It's okay. You know? And the thing about praise is, like everything else we do, what works for me won't work for somebody else. But I think if you can find that praise for a submissive, or as a submissive, you can figure out what kind of makes you feel your best self. For me, my best self mm-hmm. tends to be a happy baby girl. And so those kinds of compliments and that kind of praise, even though that is not technically praise, don't talk about my baby girl like that. It is praise, because what he's done is I've said something negative about myself and he has completely contradicted it, countermanded it, and said, no.
Right.
My baby girl is the opposite of that. My baby girl is the kind words I'll let him say later. Because I still.
Baby girl's the bomb.
Like a bomb, gonna explode, gonna go off. Short fuse, yes, like a bomb. So when you find for yourself, when you realize what sort of hits those buttons for you, or as the dominant praising your submissive, again, it's back to balance. So if you do it too often, it starts to become background noise. It starts mm-hmm. to not be heard, and there's a word I want, sort of internalized as much. Mm. So that's why I go back to, you do have to be careful of too much praise, just as you have to be careful of not enough praise. I do not have, and I think this is my style of submission, so no shade to anybody out there who has a different style of submission or DS. I don't have a lot of patience for the people who say, why should I, they also say, why should I thank my submissive? Why should I praise my submissive for a good job? That's their fucking job. Y'all, my job is to write words for a living and deliver them to the client on time. But I promise you right now, if a client doesn't at some point tell me I did a good job, I'm not interested in working for that client
That's
anymore.
True.
When I worked Very in true. Retail, you want to know who got the best treatment when I was standing at a cash register? A kind, decent human being, not the person that went, this is your fucking job.
Well,
I don't.
That goes to the to like, an
I
old
don't
say,
have
saying,
patience for that shit.
You catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar.
That's true.
Yeah.
And it's true in general. That's like a life thing. But I think we, again, it's personal preference. I'm not trying to judge anybody, but maybe I'm being really judgy and I kind of don't care. Yeah, it's my, I agreed to be this type of submissive for mm-hmm. John Brownstone. And when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing within those boundaries and limits and agreed upon
right.
rules and tasks and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
But you don't have to.
Technically, I don't have to. Because you can always make a choice to not.
Right.
But even though I consider it something that I want, it's something I want to do. It's something I agreed to do. I don't want to call it a job because that sounds like, that doesn't have that doesn't have a good connotation. Like, it's not an obligation, and yet it is my own personal
so
sense of
So are you
honor.
A 9-to-5 submissive? Is that what it is?
I'm more like a 5-to-9, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., but whatever. My own personal sense of honor and integrity says I agreed to do these things, and these things still work for me. They're not hard limits. So I'm going to do them because that's what I agreed to do. And mm-hmm. technically, I'm going to do them whether I get praise or not. But am I going to do them cheerfully? Am I going to do them with a full, happy heart? Am I going to do them long term if the person I'm doing them for never acknowledges what I do? And mm-hmm. we've already talked about what happens when you don't show gratitude. But if there's no occasional praise,
it makes you wonder why you're doing what you're doing.
What the fuck am I doing it for? Are you even paying attention? No. Are you taking me for granted? Because if you're taking me for granted, mm-hmm. I'm out the door. I really do not tolerate that. I've lived with that enough in my life. Nope, gotta go. So there's that. And there's also this sort of thinking that, you know, some people will believe that a dominant has to be really stern and strict and, you know, they don't show emotion and blah, blah, blah. So if they praise their submissive, that's weakness. I know. That's okay. This is a little off topic, but I think I'm going to write a post about this. I can see some of the search terms people use to find some of my websites. I have multiple websites. And one of them is, do doms kiss their submissives? The one that horrified me was, is a dominant allowed to kiss a submissive?
Wow.
I know. And that's the thing. There's this thinking out there that doing things that are either more vanilla or more, are the softer skills that aren't just the issuing orders and, you know, discipline and, but that somehow makes you less dominant. Well, praising your submissive for a job well done is valid. It doesn't make you weak. It doesn't take away your power. Quite frankly, I think that there is something really strong about somebody who holds the power in a situation, acknowledging the person who doesn't. And whether that's gratitude or praise, and, you know, acknowledging what they've done. Yeah, maybe they agreed to do it. Maybe on some weird level they quote have to do it. I mean, you know, in that murky way of you're like, this is what I agreed to do, this is the life I want, this is my role, so I have to, air quote, have to do it. That's a sign of strength to me, that you can be up on high and you can have this person serving you or submitting to you or however you're doing it, and you can see what they're doing and see their humanity and go, that's good. Thank you for that. And that's a good job. Sometimes you get a thank you without praise, and sometimes you get a praise without thank you. And sometimes then you get like the, you get both at the same time.
True.
They all work together. Yeah, I like praises and submissive. It makes me happy.
Because you're a baby girl.
I care a lot of. You like this because you're a baby girl. No, I like this shit because I'm a human fucking being. There are slaves. Now, there are people who identify as slaves who go, I don't need praise. This is what I'm meant to do. I think there are fewer of them. I think that's something that a lot of people say. And maybe they do mean it. Mm-hmm. You know, I certainly can't speak for anybody, but I really think on a very human level, we all need at least a little. All need at least an acknowledgement that mm-hmm. we did a good job, that we worked really hard, that we tried really hard, that we came, you know, we dealt with difficult circumstances and overcame them. Like, whatever it might be. So maybe a person who is a slave in a that kind of power exchange doesn't want or care for or need or feel comfortable with as much praise as maybe I do. And I don't think I necessarily need that much praise, but I do like it. But it should happen at some point.
Right.
You know, it should not be withheld completely forever and ever. I just don't think that is healthy over the long term. And I think that submissives who do not identify on the little spectrum, which I believe the baby girl, baby boy dynamic is on the little spectrum. And so maybe a submissive who's not on the little spectrum, they're not really on the slaves, they're trying to submit and be obedient and serve and whatever. Think about it. Like, think about how good you feel when you get praise. Now, sometimes you feel uncomfortable. And this is, we could talk about this later when mm-hmm. we talk about praise kinks, because that was some really good examples that Evie Lupin did in her video. Again, I will link in the description below for video watchers, and I'll put the link in the show notes for podcast listeners. Because sometimes people do get really uncomfortable with praise. They're not used to it. You might, as a submissive, have that thought of, why are you praising me for something that I'm supposed to do because I'm a submissive? And that can play into it. But if you feel positive feelings on any level, even where you don't like to admit them out loud, for praise, then praise is something that could be good for you. At the very least, I think that dominants should offer praise to their submissives until they learn exactly what their submissive needs and likes and wants and the balance of that. Okay. Also, the things you praise me for now, mm-hmm. That you truly like was part of my low self-esteem, my looks, my weight, my body, like, oh, bad self-esteem over that. You kept praising me for those things, telling me I was sexy, telling me I was beautiful, telling me this, telling me that. Even when I was like, no, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. I actually became part of my submission to accept that praise. Mm. I had to, because what was happening is I would go, don't say that. And you're like, are you telling me, the guy in charge, not to say something? Like, and it was very much a DS thing, because I was uncomfortable with that praise. And now, over time, sort of long-term unintentional training, when he says something about how good my butt looks in the leggings I happen to be wearing that he actually picked out, I'm like, yes, it does. And I'm up to do a booty pop. You know, like, look at my butt. I won't do that for anybody else intentionally. Because over time, I learned how to accept those compliments. So if you're a submissive who's like, no, I don't like compliments because they make you uncomfortable, because you're not used to them, or because it's hitting something you have low self-esteem on, consider, like, mindfuck yourself a little bit and consider it a certain form of training. For me, when we first got together, when he pointed out that there I was telling him no, no, no about something, and it was not, you know, a boundary or hard limit. It wasn't that I was withdrawing consent, but I was rejecting his praise. Who was in control here? And he was like, that's a little bit of topping from the bottom. And I was like, fuck, he's right. Yeah. And so I had to learn how to accept that praise and those compliments. And then over time, even though, I mean, you're not like walking around every single day going, oh, look at that ass. You could. I mean, I'm okay. I'm very proud of my ass. It's what my whole personal.
It's a nice ass.
It's what my whole personal Instagram is about as well. But you dole it out in such a way that when it happens, I get that little bit of, it makes me feel so good. But it's not so regular that that it becomes commonplace, that I stop hearing it. And so, you know, that could be a very subtle form of kind of training and helping a submissive get used to praise, get used to compliments, build their self-esteem, things like that. But again, it has to come from a genuine place. You can't just be like making shit up because you think it sounds good.
And I think you can, you should be able to tell if someone is being genuine with their praise or not.
I think you can feel it. I think in the beginning, if you are a submissive with low, a human, but we're talking about the submissive side for right now. If you are a submissive with low self-esteem, you can't always tell. Or you can tell, but I know from my experience, it would be, I would be terrified to admit that maybe they were right, or maybe they really meant that, because it went counter to how I saw myself in my head, and I wasn't ready to sort of accept that version of myself.
Yeah.
But I really think over time, especially as you develop trust in a relationship and that long term, and you, if you're developing trust as a DS partnership anyway, doing all the other stuff, that this kind of trust comes along with it. So,
okay, Marianne, that's a very good question.
What is the question for podcast listeners?
How do you accept the praise? And that was something I had to work on with her a lot in the beginning.
I was like, no.
Yeah. When I would tell her she looks pretty, she's beautiful,
good job,
she'd be like, no. And I'm like, or she would say nothing.
Yeah. Mostly because I didn't know what to say.
And tell her, baby girl, proper response is to say, thank you.
He did, for real, y'all. He was telling me, this is why he's a much kinder human being than I am, because I will forget to say thank you. In general, we'll just forget. We'll just be like, 2 days later, I'll be like, oh, fuck, I didn't say thank you for that thing. Like, I kind of suck. He taught me to say thank you. And I think if you don't know what to say, thank you is always a good place to start. If you were like at a loss for words, you've just been praised, you weren't expecting it, maybe your brain's telling you that you should be praised for that, like, whatever. Go with thank you, dead stop, thank you. It's a full sentence, thank you. Now, I have a very baby girl reaction. Because I go, thank you, hee,
Yes.
Yeah. Because I'm much, over time, we've been together almost 7 years. Over mm-hmm. time, I got to this place. This was not a month in or 6 months in. This was years of getting used to praise. Especially, like I said, you could praise me all day long for things that I think have to do with my mind and my intellect. And I'll be like, well, thank you. You know, thank you for that validation. I needed it. But when it's praise for things I'm really unsure of, like when I do something that scares me, y'all know I'm anxious. I don't hide this. I'm a hot mess of anxiety. When I do something that he knows terrified me, I was anxious the whole time. I was afraid of getting it wrong. I was afraid of getting lost. I was afraid. He will praise me for having done the thing that I was terrified of, even if it didn't go well. Even if I screwed it up, I still get the praise for having done the thing that scared me. And I don't have the same reaction to your ass looks good in those leggings, baby girl. Like, that's a different... We've been on that journey for, like, years.
Yeah.
The anxiety thing is still working on. So when I'm still at a loss, thank you. Just say thank you.
Yeah.
I think it's good to acknowledge the praise. I think every relationship develops its own shorthand. Like, there are times he'll praise me for something. I just give him, like, the sassy little look. And he knows that that's me acknowledging it.
Sassy lilac.
And sometimes it's a thank you. And sometimes... sometimes the sass is strong.
Yeah.
And he'll... I don't even remember the last... I don't remember what the praise was. I just remember that I was like, yeah, that's right. Like, this is my due. Of course you should praise me for this. Who is this monster that you have created that is okay with praise?
Oh, boy.
So praise certainly has its place. I think it's very important. If somebody is doing something for you, which submissives on some level are doing something for their dominant, you're worthy of praise. And if your partner's not, if your partner has never praised you, it's time for a conversation.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you feel like you get too much praise, I think that's time for a conversation too. I was married to a guy, and the only other guy I've ever been married to is Jeff Brownstone. First marriage. He never knew what to say to me. He didn't even really know how to say kind things like thank you or you did a really good job. So he would fill conversation like dead space. He couldn't handle comfortable silences. And he would go, I love you. I love you. And in the very beginning of a relationship, I think this is where he won me over, because I grew up in a house where we didn't say that. Like, my mom would say it on occasion, but my father said it to me twice in life. And one of those times was on his deathbed. So, yeah. So when I had a partner who would just tell me he loved me at random, like over and over again, man, I soaked that up like I was a dry riverbed and it was monsoon season. Like, whoa. And just like the monsoon, it became too much. And there came a point where I didn't even hear him say it anymore, because he said it so often, it lost all meaning.
Mm.
So it is possible that you can have a partner that is praising you so much that you're sitting here listening to us now and you're like, oh, does my partner praise me? Oh, shit, yeah, all the time. And it doesn't mean anything to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it doesn't mean anything because the relationship's maybe not in a good place. And sometimes it's because it's too much and it stops losing the specialness of it. And so, you know, that can come from a good place. A dominant can be really, like, eager to help you build up your self-esteem, and they go too far. And sometimes they are at a loss and they don't know what to say about stuff, but they know if they say something nice, you know, you might be happy. And so that's also, you know, it's worth a conversation. Mm-hmm. Whether you're getting not enough, which I think is going to be most common, people not getting enough, or getting too much. But as a submissive, I think you do also, you have to learn how to acknowledge the praise. And if you haven't been, it's okay. It happens. Some of us just, we don't know what to do. Like deer in headlights when somebody says something nice about me. I'm like, oh, what's the right way to respond to this? I'm still like that with people, not John Brownstone, because John Brownstone's trained me. Nobody else has trained me. So we go places.
So we need to work on training for when you're out in the wild.
Probably. Yeah. We go to a munch. We go to a Roticon. We go to places where people who are kinky or writers or whatever say nice things about me. And I'm like, thank you. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. It's a skill. It's a skill I can
use.
So I want to flip and talk about praise for dominance. Because I think this is something that is not thought about enough.
Mm.
Now, we talked about this in gratitude, that you need to thank your dominant from time to time, right? Thank you for doing that thing to me that I've asked you to do. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for helping me out. Right? Like, the gratitude episode really does, like, cover a lot of that. I think praise, maybe it happens less for a dominant, but I think it's no less important. When we do some new kinky fuckery thing, because we're into pain as pleasure, sadist, masochist, that's how we roll, he knows there's a chance he's causing actual pain, not the kind of pain that I'm like, ooh, this is nice. So when we do something...
Good pain versus bad pain.
Right.
Right.
When we do something, and especially if it was new, or he's still kind of learning, or we're still figuring it out, I try to make sure, and I don't do this probably as often as I should, when the scene is done, maybe during aftercare, maybe later when we're kind of going over what happened, how did we, what do we think, I make sure to say things like, you did a good job. That felt really good. I like it when you do that. That is positive reinforcement at its finest. I'm going to tell you, you did that shit good, so you will do that shit again. Okay? That's as simple as that.
I think as a dominant, it's important to receive some praise because, again, especially if you're a sadist, that you're inflicting pain on someone, that goes against so many norms. Of what society tells you you should be doing. You know, you don't hurt other people. Okay? So there's kind of like a battle of conscience that goes on. So when you tell me you enjoyed a scene or, you know, that spanking was really good, you know, I'm like, okay. Wow, thank you. I'm doing the right thing here. You know, and that's important to know.
And I think that's important even if you're not, like, it's not about your kinky fuckery, it's about your power exchange. There are different parts of society that tell us different things, so I think this is regardless of gender. But the person in control of the relationship has gotten messages from society at some point about how they shouldn't be, about how relationships are supposed to be equal, 50-50, that when you always get your way, that makes you a bully or that makes you... Like, there are different messages that we all receive about that. And so I recognize better the messages that male doms have received about, you know, equality and, you know, whatever. John Brownstone is a really good feminist. And I think that there could be a part of him that's like, oh my gosh, is it really feminist if I'm the guy in charge of this relationship over this woman? Yeah, because it's a choice and it's consensual. But so I think that even if you're not dealing with pain, even if it's like just any kind of kinky fuckery, because any kinky fuckery we do comes with some risk. Tying somebody up comes with risk. But in the power exchange...
Well, even, you know, there, because...
There deserves to... You need some praise to reinforce that you're actually doing the right thing.
Yes, and I was just going to say, because, you know, as the leader, all that falls on your shoulders. You know? And I don't know about other doms. I never asked, and I'd be curious to know. You know, there are times I wrestle. Am I making the right decision? Is this the best choice? Is this going to be... good for everybody involved, you know, and it's you think about those things.
And so when something that could have been a hard choice, I think submissives, if you're paying attention, if you're, even if your dominant doesn't tell you, I wish your dominant would tell you, but even if your dominant doesn't tell you that they are wrestling with a decision they need to make, or they're not sure, or they've got doubts or whatever, what I would say is pay attention to the outcome of a thing. Dominant was asked to, had to, part of your dynamic is they decide a thing. And you are self-aware enough to know that it could have gone wrong. Like, I think we're adults here. You can look, step back and go, oh, I could see how that could have gone wrong. Dominant makes a decision. You do the thing. You have the moment, whatever. And it turns out well. Acknowledge that it turned out well. And that part of that was because of the decision-making of the dominant. You know, it's another form of positive reinforcement. It lets them know when they're on the right track. Now, somebody in the live chat for the YouTube live stream is talking about gestures of praise versus verbal praise. Part of that, and we have done this episode, it's way back in the archives. You don't, some of you might not, you might be like, oh, that's a little woo-woo. Five love languages, I'm all about that shit. And we did an episode on the five love languages. How you... So the one thing I've learned since doing that, and I don't think we mentioned it as much in the episode on the five love languages, is that, but our natural tendency is to give one of our, to express a love language to our partner in the way we want it expressed to ourselves.
Yes.
So what we have to learn once we know our partner's love language and we know our own is we have to train ourselves, we have to teach ourselves to express love for the love language that the partner responds to, and they need to learn how to express it to us so we get what we need. So it's very possible that you as a submissive may want to do acts, like your acts of...
service.
Acts of service. Yes. We're submissives. That kind of makes sense, right? But it is very possible that your dominant needs, one of their love languages is affirmations. Those would be words.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's something wrong with starting with what you're comfortable with, because then it's easier to give praise.
Yeah.
And if you're comfortable with it, it's likely because that is your love language or one of your main love languages. You can have more than one. But if the praise isn't landing, like you, submissives, if your way of praising and showing gratitude and appreciation for your dominant is to do extra service, because your particular love language is acts of service, and your dominant's like not even noticing, like they're oblivious to it, resentment can build really mm-hmm. fast. And also, you are not talking in their language.
Yeah.
And if you are unsure of what your partner responds to or responds best to, the five love languages is for you. First of all, you can get that book yeah. in the library. It is that, it's old, and it's that popular. So if you mm-hmm. don't have money, you don't have to buy a book.
You can take the test online.
The test online, I think the book gives you a lot more information.
True.
But you can take the quiz online for free. But if you want to learn more about it, you can get the book from the library. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's an audiobook. It's a book, but you don't have to buy it. You can take the quiz for free. Yeah. You can get the book to learn more from the library. I'm a huge fan of the library. But that, for those people who are like, well, wait, I like gestures. Well, I like verbal. Okay, you're talking about your love language. Now you got to figure out your partner's love language. Now, I know that you like affirmations. I don't even know if it was one of your top ones anymore.
The top one was, for me, was physical touch.
Yes. And, ooh, yes, that makes life very nice. Because then I could just be all like, touch. And he's very happy.
Which was funny because
which is
even,
not praise, but it is right, nice.
Which... prior to us having taken that test and finding that out, when we were entering into our relationship, you were like, well, my old dominant had a rule that I could not touch him without permission.
Yeah. Which was hot at the time.
Yeah. And I was like, no, you can touch me anytime you want. You don't need permission. So it's kind of funny right. because after we took the test together and that came up.
Right. It makes some things click. You're click. Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like words. I like affirmations. Mm-hmm. I don't need them as much. I need them. That's not a top one. I can't remember what my top one. I'd have to go back. I'd probably have to retake the quiz. It's been a few years. And I think people do shift and change over time.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I think there's a place for all of them. So I don't think that if somebody's love language is affirmations, then you only ever give them praise. I think there's some good to doing things for somebody. I just don't think you can only do things for somebody and expect their gratitude for it. And they're not mm-hmm. speaking that language. Same, you could do things for me all day. I might love it, but I'm going to want to hear, I love you. Or you, good girl, I'm gonna want to hear that at some point. So, but if you are at a loss of how you're gonna give praise and what's the best way to praise your dominant or your submissive, I highly recommend the five love languages.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it. I even got not the youngest. I got the oldest to take the kids' version of the quiz to learn his love language, and I have mm-hmm. now forgotten it. He's going to have to think it again.
I don't remember.
But when I was mindful of it and I was following that, ooh, that did work as a parent.
Just mm-hmm.
a little parenting trick there. Yeah. Get the kids to take the kids' version. It helps with interactions. But no, I think that now, I think just like submissives, some dominants will be like, what are you praising me for? Like, they'll be uncomfortable with it, okay? And you have to respect boundaries and you have to respect consent. And if your dominant's like, stop that shit, then stop that shit. But also maybe dive deeper into why, because it could be that they're harboring their own self-esteem issues and they're harboring their own like weirdness about I'm not comfortable with somebody saying something nice to me or doing something nice for me. What are you doing? And we don't talk about training our dominant because that doesn't sound very power exchangey. But people train each other. You train the other person on how to treat you. You train the other person mm-hmm. on what to expect from you. We just don't call it training unless you're the submissive. So if, as long as you're not violating consent and like hurtling through boundaries with your dominant, slowly, subtly finding ways to praise them when it's appropriate and from a genuine place, over time, you can help them grow more comfortable with it too. Okay. You do have to be mindful because with the power imbalance you got there, they are the ones that can shut you down and be like, mm-hmm. stop saying that shit. If they tell you to do that, just do it. But there are other ways. Like it could be a gesture. It could be that you were out and about and you wanted to, you saw something that made you think of them and you, you know, bought them a little present and you present it to them and they're like, why are you giving me this? And you're like, because you've done a really good job as my dominant and I'm really yeah. appreciative. And, you know, here I saw this and thought of you. And that is, can be a form of praise.
And whether you realize it or not, in the beginning, I kind of had to work on that a little bit myself.
I mean, so many self-esteem issues in the beginning.
I mean, it was very easy to, you know, tell you, you know, baby girl, the correct response to that is thank you. I kind of began to realize that I kind of need to practice what I preach a little bit more myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we all carry our own baggage into relationships yeah. and knowing your history to the extent that I do, yeah. I mean, the fact that you are as mentally and emotionally healthy as you are is a fucking miracle.
Well, I figured if I just do everything opposite.
Right. of your entire life up until the moment you met me. It's working for you. Stick with that. And I do think if you've got, because somebody mentioned in the live chat that their partner dismisses praise mm-hmm. from a submissive as somebody who's like, you know, if suck ass means kissing up, that's how I'm interpreting it. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I think there is some conversation to be had about praise and what that means. And yeah. And you don't always have to say, you don't have to like set an appointment with your partner to go, I would like to sit down with you to talk about praise in our relationship. Like, you don't have to do that. It can be part of the conversation where you're like, when I say something nice to you, mm-hmm. you have this reaction. Like, what's that about? You know, trying to get them to talk about it. Now, again, it's way easier to say that than it is to actually do because we all come at these things in our own way and from our yeah. own perspectives. And some people aren't ready to talk about those things. And sometimes you have to be really, really subtle with it. But you also have to be really genuine with it. So if you've got a partner that's like, I reject all praise. You're like, wait, what? You have to respect their boundaries. But that doesn't mean you can't do things for them or with them that are about praise, that are praise adjacent, like getting them a little gift. And when you give it to them, just say, I just want to say thank you. But if you say something nice to your partner and they turn it into, oh, you're trying to manipulate me, that says a lot about them. Okay. Mm-hmm. And their bad tapes and their baggage and their perspective in a relationship. So dominance can be prickly on that. Dominance, like, it depends yeah. on how they view their own dominance, how they view the relationship. Are you trying to walk in front of the camera?
I am going to.
Go ahead. Pants. At least he's wearing pants this time, y'all. Sorry, podcast listener. Sometimes he doesn't wear pants, but you only get audio, so you don't get to see him in his underwear. Actually, I don't think anybody on YouTube's gotten to see him in his underwear. Anyway, so if a dominant is sort of prickly about that, or, you know, that's fine. They get to be that way. But I think it's worth, when appropriate, to have the conversation, you know, to say, what is it about praise that bothers you? What is it you don't like? And so what you might find as a submissive is they might not like the real effusive, oh my God, you're so wonderful. Like that might make them uncomfortable, maybe because it's not their love language. But if you find their love language and you find what they respond to, then maybe you can tailor the praise you offer to how they best respond to things. And sometimes it's their own demons that they're dealing with, their own bad tapes, their own memories, their own past relationships, how maybe they had a submissive partner at one point who said all the right things and, you know, was cheating and lying. And so they've got to overcome it, but they've got to be willing to overcome it. I don't think that means that we just should never praise them. I think that we just have to find what works. And sometimes it's a little bit like chipping away at hard ass rock. Like, you gotta just be consistent, but gentle with it, you know, sort of like John Brownstone was with me. He never made me feel bad when I didn't know how to accept a compliment. He just sort of gently corrected me. Especially when I forgot to say thank you. And it was this real gentle thing that never felt like, here's a lesson for our DS relationship. It was just sort of this natural part. And it's just a thing we did from time to time on occasion when appropriate. And when I say when appropriate, I mean when it fit the moment. You know, he didn't, as far as I know, and he's in another room, so we may never find out. He did not create situations where he could praise me in order to teach me how to accept praise. Like, it was very natural, like in the moment kind of thing. And I think as a submissive, if you are in the moment with your dominant and there's something praiseworthy, then, you know, over time you might wear them down and they might get used to handling praise. So I don't know. It's hard because I don't have a dominant that can't handle praise. I have a dominant that still to this day is just surprised as fuck by it. Like when I say, you did a really good job, daddy. That was great. He's all like, really?
Have you met what? My blood family?
Yeah, I know. That's why I give you all the praise I can. You are choosing your current family. I have gifted you the part of mine that's not insane. So it's fine. But yeah, I mean, you don't ever, it's weird because you don't ever expect the praise that I give you. I don't give you enough praise. I can see that now that I don't give you enough praise. I give lots of gratitude. I've gotten a lot better at gratitude. I'm not as good at praise. And you know, it's funny though. I am better at praise with my own kids, with the boys, mm-hmm. because of how praise was sort of weirdly divvied out when I was a kid. I've like made a conscious decision to be better, but I'm not as good at it with you. Like I do it when mm-hmm. when it's clear. Like we did wax play and I was like, you did a good job. The whip, I was like, okay, don't do that again, but this was good, you know. It's easier when it's a physical task like that. It's a little bit harder when it's the relationship stuff. Okay, so I do want to talk about praise as a kink, mostly to say praise can be a kink that you play with. Evie Lupin's video was spot on. I'm watching it going, people want us to talk about this. I cannot add to this video. This video is, yes, because she talked about it. Give a little summation. It's still totally worth the watch because mm-hmm. it's not even that long either, y'all. If you're sitting here with us at this amount, you can handle one of Evie's videos. Just saying, you'll be fine. But she talked about it as treating it as praise as a kink in kinky fuckery play. So like maybe you're really uncomfortable with praise. And so the whole scene is being told really nice things because you're uncomfortable. Sometimes it's about the feel good of being told really nice mm-hmm. things. She even talked about it with a view of humiliation play, which I think, and I think she said this explicitly. If not, I decided this is what she said. But praise kink is on a spectrum of it's the opposite of humiliation right. kink. But you can incorporate praise kink into humiliation kink because if you feel really embarrassed when you were told nice things about yourself, then that could play into your humiliation kink. And so what it means is that praise as a kink, as a kinky fuckery thing you do, it is one of those kinks that you can do anywhere. You don't have to be naked for it. You don't have to be like, high, you know, in the dungeon for it.
You'd be out in public for that.
You could be sitting at Thanksgiving dinner with your vanilla family and your dominant could say something really nice about you and praise you.
And get you all
kinds of worked up because you'll be like, first of all, you know that's a kink. And second of all, holy shit, you've just given me a reaction in front of the entire vanilla people. What? That was really, really interesting. She did also point out that people don't talk about praise kink very often. She had a hard time sort of researching it. I was not going to like retrace her steps. She did the work. I'm going to point you to her video.
She did a great job.
She did a good job on that one. Yeah, because I was looking at it going, I had never thought about that. But also that makes total sense. It is a more subtle form of play. It can absolutely be incorporated into your physical acts of kinky fuckery. It depends on how you react to praise. So I think on a surface level, I could almost convince myself I have a praise kink, but then I try to imagine it in action, and if the best response I have to praise is to go and have that baby girl moment, which is not at all sexual for me. It's just, it doesn't work that way for me. And so I'm trying to imagine a scene or a moment where John Brownstone inundated me with praise to get that reaction. Mm-hmm. One, it would not be sexual pleasure. And for me, kinky fuckery is very tied to sexual pleasure. Two, I have over the years in different ways, I can become immune to that kind of stuff. And then I don't have as much of a reaction. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to, like, not have that reaction anymore.
Dole it out judiciously.
Yeah. So I would rather it not be a kink, but I can absolutely see, especially if you're a person with your kinky fuckery who likes to be really challenged and you want it to be a little bit difficult to overcome it or to move through that scene. If you find accepting praise difficult, but you're still willing to, like, I could see that being part of a scene.
And I think I've done that to a certain extent. I mean, when we've been in the club doing a scene, I'd be like, look at you, such a good girl, taking all that, taking what I gave you. You took that spanking really well.
I know, and then I'm like, keep going, I'll show you what I can take. But I do want to, at the very least, for people who are like, talk about praise kink, I just want to validate and, you know, give affirmation. Yes, it can be a kink. You just need to watch Evie's video. Podcast listeners, it'll be in the show notes. Video watchers, I'll put it in the description box as soon as I can after we finish recording. So that's praise. And Jennifer in the live chat came back and clarified her thing about her dom top not liking praise, as in he means it as in it's not a good thing that the submissive shouldn't have to do it, or how to that it's really bad for her, really crappy for her to have to praise. No, it's not. If it comes from a genuine, and this is a thing that people have to learn over time. So I can go, no, it's not. And you and I, Jennifer, we are on the same page, but it'll take your partner time to get there. But for anybody else, when praise comes from a genuine place of that felt really good, and damn, you did a good job, or I really like how you do that, or do more of that, please, or whatever. It's not a bad thing. It can make us uncomfortable, as we have said many times through this episode. It can make us uncomfortable if we are not used to it, if we aren't sure that that's, quote, appropriate for the role we're in. You know, yes, of course, all of those things. But that's why when you do praise your partner, it needs to be something you genuinely feel.
Yeah.
And over time, because I don't care how much you trust each other right now, I promise you in 5 years, I'll trust John Brownstone more than I trust him now, if that's even possible, right? Like, we'll just have this depth and these layers to our relationship and all this time. So things that I would still do now, but I might be worried about how will he react? You know, in 5 years time, I'm going to know how he's going to react. And I can either tailor what I do to that reaction, or I can just do what I feel. And in that case, I'll just praise because I know how he's going to handle it. Or he'll accept my praise because he knows the genuine place it's coming from. So when you issue praise, don't let it be empty praise. Let it be something you really feel and mean. Right. And if you are looking at, I don't care what side of the slash you're on, if you're looking back through your relationship going, ooh, I don't praise enough, ooh, but I don't know what to say, I'm a fan of planning. I don't know if y'all noticed that. I'm an anxious person. And so part of that is to go off by yourself, like with pen and paper or the notes app on your phone or a document pulled up on your laptop or whatever, and start writing out things that you really like that your partner does, or things that you like about them, or things that they do well that benefit you. That's not everything you could praise them about, but it's a good start. And if you are conscious of those things, if you're thinking about them outside of the moment and you're looking at them kind of almost in an objective manner of, they do this really well and they do that really well, and I really like this about them, and I really like that they do this. When you can think about it outside the situation, it becomes, over time, it can become easier to notice it in the situation. So you just sat down and had like a brainstorming session of all the things that your partner does that's great, and you want to praise them more, but you have not been doing it because you weren't thinking about it. That's cool. That's cool. Totally get it. You've made that list. Well, then a day later, they do one of those things. It's top of mind. You've made the list. You're like, oh shit, that's right. And then you can go, I haven't meaning to tell you. I really like it when you do that. I really appreciate it. I think that's great. Throw in a thank you. Thank you is gratitude, but it can also be kind of felt and seen as a form of praise. Thank you for doing that. Please do more of it, you know? Mm-hmm. But for dominance, praising your partner does not make you weak. It doesn't.
No.
If you are that person who thinks that, no, we've got to reassess here. And submissives, I know your dominant might be resistant to it. They might be hesitant. They might not. And you might even have that thought of, but I'm doing what they tell me to do. What's there to praise? They take on a lot, you know, and they shoulder a lot of responsibility and burden. So do your best to praise them even when they resist the fuck out of it. And there we go.
Yeah.
There we go. I think we talked about praise. There's so much more that could be said.
Well,
I mean, there always is.
There's always more.
There always is. But I has been on my list, and people really, the several people were like, talk about praises, kink. And I was like, but I don't want to. And then Amy did it for me, and I went, I don't have to. And it's not because I can't comprehend it. I could totally get it. Praise is part of what keeps me going and keeps me fulfilled as a submissive, mm-hmm. just as much as gratitude is. It's something I'm working on accepting with help and also working on giving more often. But I also think it's, like we said earlier, you do it too often and you start it starts to be less special. Okay. So it's, and the kissy noises John Brownson's making into the microphone are for the dog.
Oh, so, yeah.
Okay, so I think it is time
to
do our bonus section. It's time to actually end the regular episode.
So are we good?
I don't know.
What's the proper response, girl?
Yes, Donnie.
All right.
Okay, we love you guys. We're going to do a bonus section?
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Keep it kinky, y'all.
And we'll see you next week. Okay, you wrote down your numbers. Can I talk to the crickets now, Dottie? Please and thank you. Can you talk? May I please talk to the crickets, Dottie? Please and thank you.
Yes, baby girl.
Thank you. I remembered the please and thank you at the end.
I was still writing my numbers.
I know. But you had started writing them, so it was fine. Okay, so podcast listeners, you missed all the drama from starting this recording session. Live stream viewers and people who came later and didn't fast forward through the craziness got to see of it. But it messed me up from recording this episode. Like, I had it in my head of what I was thinking and what points, and then I just felt totally freaking scattered. So I apologize.
Well,
episode was really scattered. It was not.
It kind of blew the whole train of thought and the flow that we expected. Yes. I know.
But we rolled with it, and the live stream watchers were completely kind, and they were like, we're patient. This is fine. We don't mind.
Thank you to everybody for being so patient.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
Yes. I also have not had enough coffee for this. So for podcast listeners, we're recording earlier than we normally do at 9 a.m. in the morning, which is not a hardship. I mean, the fact that we have a life where on Wednesday at 9 a.m. we can record a podcast episode and live stream, I mean, we're quite privileged people. Our life is definitely not bad. But yeah, it threw me off. And my dog is staring at me like, hey, lady, why don't you love me?
You're way early, dude.
You are way early. So for anybody who's like, why are you talking to your dog like that? He gets a midday walk, the noon walk, and I walk him. And he, every single day, tries to push it earlier. And part of the problem is that I let him sometimes. Sometimes because we've got stuff going on, I'll go walk him at like 11 so that at noon we can be somewhere else we need to be. And so he's like, you know, every day if I just try, maybe today will be the day.
Today will be the day.
Today is not the day, dude. Today is not the day.
Nope, not it.
No, he's such a sweet puppy. He's not a puppy, he's an old man.
He's an old man.
He is an old man. I know.
He's a good boy.
But he's still a puppy. I think when you're 10 pounds, you're going to be a puppy for your whole life.
Yeah, right.
So what's going on? I have not had enough coffee for this day. I'm only on, I haven't even finished the first half. I did so much, not that I, y'all, I know I do a lot of talking every episode. I'm aware, but I did so much talking this episode. I did not even finish this cup of coffee. I did not. Wow. Did you come up on your daddy's lap, Saki? Oh my goodness. Okay, I don't know. Can he be? He can kind of be seen on the camera. Yeah. For podcast listeners, if you love looking at dogs, go to our YouTube channel and fast forward by like an hour and 20 minutes. Or no, an hour and 15 minutes and you'll see our dog.
Yeah.
I am not good at taking pictures of dogs. He always looks like a goober when I take a picture of him. So that's why I don't put him on Instagram. Like if I was a better photographer or he was a more photogenic dog, I wouldn't put him on Instagram.
I think he's camera shy. Every time I tried to take a picture of him, he kind of shies away from the camera.
He probably is.
Yeah.
Oh, the iced tea. Yes, I was making iced tea this morning.
Yeah.
I do. I make, so the fact that our ice maker was making ice in the refrigerator, because I used up all the ice because of the way I make iced tea.
Mm-hmm.
So I only use Louisiane tea bags. Okay. I've tried Lipton. I've tried this. I've tried that. It all sucks. Louisiane is the jam. I do not know if you can get it outside of the southern region though. Like, I don't know if they carry that in, like, if you're in California or if you're, like, in New York. Like, I don't know. But I know in the South, whew, yes. And I have changed grocery stores I've shopped at if they did not carry Louisiana.
Yeah.
Just saying, that is the iced tea I grew up
with. Poor, misguided grocery stores.
And I'm very Southern, so I've been drinking iced tea since probably I got off the bottle as a baby. Like, and there's a possibility that somebody in my family was like, would you like, you know, little baby Kayla, would you like a sip of your, of our sweet tea? And baby Kayla went, uh-huh. For years and years and years, I drank sweet tea, like addicted to it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Got through the entire first pregnancy with the oldest. I drank sweet, 32 ounce sweet tea every day. And I usually got a refill, sometimes two refills. That is 64 plus ounces of sweet tea daily. I still only gained 30 pounds of that pregnancy. I don't know what happened. So today I was making iced tea because I am doing, I've done it before, but I'm coming back to it. I'm doing intermittent fasting, not like a crazy one where I like only eat like one time a day or something. I like food too much for that. But I'm pushing back my first coffee of the day because I use a lot of cream in my coffee. And so I was like, okay, I can't go without caffeine first thing in the morning. I now drink unsweet iced tea. And so I have to make it by the jugful. But the method that I have found over years of a lot of experimenting with making iced tea, sweet or unsweet, is that, so I get the water boiling, a big pot of water, four family-sized tea bags for the size of my jug. Get the water boiling. I take the water, once the water is a rolling boil, take the pot off the burner, turn it off, and steep the big tea bags for 6 to 7 minutes, but not during a rolling boil. Water has calmed down. Once it is steeped, I then pour it over my big container that's filled to the top with ice. So that means every time I need to make iced tea, which is about once a week, I empty out the freezer. There is no more ice for like 10, 15, sometimes longer. And the ice maker has to make more. And so that's what I did this morning because I was like, I need my iced tea. This is what I do in the morning now. And my intermittent fast is usually between 11-ish and like 6-ish, sometimes 7-ish. That's if you follow intermittent fasting, you'll recognize this term, my feeding window. This is when I fucking eat is what that means, and drink coffee. So unsweet iced tea is what I drink before. I have my first cup of coffee before I, during the fasting period.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very serious about my iced tea. And so when our freezer was making ice earlier and I wondered if it could be picked up on the microphone, I got confirmation it could not. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why. We had no ice because I had made my iced tea. But Louisiane is the shit. If you're a tea drinker but or you've tried tea and it was like that Lipton crap and you're like, I don't really think I like tea, find you some Louisiana. In this world, you could probably get it from Amazon if your grocery store does not sell it, is all I'm saying. It's the best. It's the best. As a kid, that's the only kind we ever made. It was the cheapest. It was the cheapest tea you could buy. My parents, we were broke. But it was good. I can't drink canned iced tea, bottled iced tea. Nope. I've even tried unsweet bottled and canned iced tea, and none of it tastes right. Is the dog licking you?
Yes.
Aw, he never does that. So yeah, that's the tea story. The coffee story is, I wrote a blog post about coffee. I wrote two. on my personal site, kaylors.com, all about sucking cock for coffee. You heard that right. Sucking cock for coffee. Mm-hmm. Kaylors.com if you want to read it. Let's see. I don't think I have anything else. What do you have?
Well, I did a craft show last weekend. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful, beautiful day out. The weather finally broke here, and we've been getting some cool nights, which has been beautiful. Worst part of it is that for y'all who don't live in Florida, you're not missing much in this time of the year in the way of we have what's known as love bugs.
I can't think we can't be the only state with love bugs.
I don't know.
I'm sure you have love bugs.
Unless they've spread out from Florida and moved north, but
I'm sure they have. Haven't they? Love bugs. Know. You'll have love bugs if you're not in Florida. I mean, if you're in Florida, you know what the hell we're talking about.
But as the day warmed up, the love bugs came out, and it was just like a huge swarm.
Yeah, oh yeah. And you had the white tablecloths on the table, and there were just black love bugs all over my...
Yeah.
They don't do anything. They're just an annoyance. They also stick to your car and will kill the paint on your car.
Oh, yeah.
When you're driving.
Yeah.
But they don't do anything bad. Mm-mm.
So, and, you know, been doing that. I've been working on the bike.
Yeah, you've got, before it goes into the shop, you've got what, one more step?
I've got one more step to do. I'm actually waiting on a part. There is a screen that goes inside the stem on the inside of the gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
And my bike is a 2001, so I'm not really too terribly surprised that it disintegrated, but I need to get that replaced. Mm-hmm. Once I get that piece and put that back in, then I can replace the tank, put in a new battery, gas filter. And then it's pretty much ready to go in the shop at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I've got everything degreased. There was a chain under all that dirt and grime.
I think that's still, we talked about this last week, the funniest thing I've ever seen is you on your hands and knees with a damn toothbrush cleaning that chain on that motorcycle.
And it's clean. It's like almost brand new now.
I know. I'm just ready to get a ride on it.
Yeah.
You haven't ridden it. I haven't ridden it. So.
Exactly.
The one thing I do want to do. Our Patreon. Mm-hmm. Shout out. I almost forgot. Shout out to Lorana, Lauren James, CDC.
Shame on you.
Sir and Her 78 and B. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Not a lot. We just been working.
Yeah.
You did a thing with the youngest today. They did a positive male role model.
Yes.
Doolally. And so I usually do drop off in the morning
in the
at the
morning.
School, but you did it with the youngest.
I did it with the youngest. I took him to school. And actually even parked, and the thing was, they had a section where the role models went to wait with their young person and actually walked into class.
I know, and you never get to do stuff like that.
No.
I know. You're going to parent-teacher conference with me Thursday afternoon.
True.
For that same child.
True.
Yeah, yeah. The oldest is starting to have a social life.
Yeah.
Weird.
I'm
encouraging it because he would be the hermit if we allowed him. We thought he would be the hermit child, and he's like, no, I want to go do this with my friends. And
that's why I even said, if he wants to go, because the way you were going, and I was like, look, you know, I'll take him.
They get out of school early today, so his friends want to go to like a restaurant probably to order some appetizers. Thankfully, I think I have raised him right. He will tip that server if he goes, decides to go. I just didn't want to have to drive him. I didn't mind him going. Mm-hmm. I just don't have to drive him. So, no, it's just life stuff right now.
Yeah.
I feel like there's other stuff going on, but I can't think about it. We got the sale for your site, thewooddumb.com. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Code FALL19.
Yep.
Please.
Fall is all uppercase.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we don't say autumn around here. I'm Southern. I say fall. Autumn. At this point in my life, autumn is a name of some person, probably... a female presenting person. Like, that's a name. Fall. It's fall.
Well,
y'all.
It's a fallacy, it's fall, here because y'all. None of our trees actually lose leaves.
Well, when they do, it's not during this time of
it's
year.
It's like end of February.
Right. Like, is it the oak trees that when all the leaves fall?
Trees.
And then the pine needles just fall all the time.
Yeah.
So, as always, fall if you go by that. No, Was there stuff? I guess not.
With the bike, I haven't been doing a whole lot in the shop. I did pop out a few paddles last week, which hopefully I'll get those up on the shop on that end today.
Mm-hmm.
And just stuff. It's been kind of a boring week in one sense.
Yeah, which is okay.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Saki, are you concerned? You're like, how do I get down from here? I'm trapped with you. I know,
right?
Do you want to come up? You won't let me pick you up. No, you don't like me. He does not like to be picked up, y'all. I guess we need to go, because at this point we're just like, do 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 do. Yeah. Oh, you went to a munch last night, a brand new munch.
I did. I went to a new munch. There he goes.
Dog's like, get me down.
Yeah, I know. Now I'm covered in dog hair. went to a new munch last night, and it was great. I had a wonderful time. There were a few people there that I already knew. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, one person who was from our old munch,
mm-hmm.
from West Pasco, and they moved up this way now. So we'll be seeing them at events more. But lots of great people. God, I had some really good conversations. Good people. Had a good time.
Yeah, it's a school night munch. Yeah. If I go at all, it won't be till summer. Mm-hmm. But I'm just not... I don't know. I find like a thing, a group, and then I'm good. I don't... You're the social butterfly, so I'll let you be the social butterfly. You go right on ahead.
Okay.
I'll stay home with my book.
And driving home last night, I was saying, I need to get my bike fixed because this munch, the road I took, it was like a long, open country road. And I'm like, yeah, I can see myself on the bike just cruising up there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. I could see that too. And then, and maybe I would be much more interested in going if we were going to ride the bike.
See?
But it's a school night, so I will not until school's out. Okay. We are just rambling and babbling now.
Yeah.
We need to go. We have another video we need to go record.
Uh-huh.
We'll be talking, a little sneak peek, we'll be talking about BDSM books we've read mm-hmm. recently, nonfiction and fiction.
Yeah.
So looking forward to making that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank y'all for sticking with us or coming back when you needed to, because this was a long one.
Yeah.
If you're new, appreciate
you.
If you're new, yes, it is like this all the time. I don't make excuses or really, I pretend to apologize for it. I don't.
No, you
this
don't.
This is who we are.
It is what it is.
And I have heard, I am learning that live streams, people are more tolerant of those being longer. I now have met people who live stream sometimes 3 to 6 hours.
Oh.
I'm going to put it out there because... I just want to know whether you currently watch the live stream or you watch live streams, just you can't make the one for us. Would you watch us for 3 to 6 hours? And if so, what would you expect us to do? Like just mm-hmm. do a topic, do multiple topics, do a Q&A? I'm not saying we will. I'm not saying he will kill me if I say that that's what we're going to do. I just put it out there to y'all. Okay, we're gone. We're done. We need to be done because I could keep going. That's how I could do a 3 to 6 hour live stream. I'll just keep talking. Yeah. We love you guys.
We love you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Mm-hmm. Thank you for just being the people you are. You are part of our community and we love you for it.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Bye.